C. Hunter. I am the senior pastor of Northland, a church distributed in Longwood, Florida.
For how long have you held that position, Dr. Hunter?
I've been here for over 26 years.
Where were you prior to that?
I was a United Methodist pastor for 15 years in Indiana.
Have you been senior pastor the entire 26 years with Northland?
I have been, yes.
State that answer again.
Yes, I've been a senior pastor here for all 26 years. When I came, I was senior pastor by virtue of being, there was one pastor and one part-time secretary, and so that pretty much made me senior pastor.
Dr. Joel Hunter, will you describe the evolution of and your involvement in the faith-based initiative to address the plight of the 1,700 known homeless students in Seminole County Public School District?
Well, from spending this long in this community, I've had, over the years, several relationships with churches and other faith-based organizations. And when the 60 Minutes piece came out about homeless children, it was shocking to many of us because we were only partially aware that the challenge was so significant, that the problem was so widespread. And so my response was churches need to be a part of the solution. And so I began to contact other churches. We called every faith-based organization in the county that we knew of. There were about 400 of them. Initially, we got a response from about 140 of them, and then we convened a meeting.
From the perspective of homelessness, Dr. Hunter, is there a sense on your part that the faith-based community in Seminole wasn't heretofore being as service-oriented in that area as it should have been?
Actually, what happened before was that we had some very good specialty ministries, you know, ministries that gathered together to address the needs of the poor and those who were in emergency situations. And so we had one residential facility for the homeless. We had the Sharing Center. We had Pathways to Home. Several niche organizations that did a very good job, but what happened with the general church is that we just defaulted toward those. I mean, we delegated our responsibility toward those particular specialty ministries, and we didn't take much responsibility other than most churches have, you know, emergency, you know, food or some sort of plan for somebody who's in a very urgent situation. But as far as addressing homelessness, no, we were not at all equipped to do that.
Dr. Joel Hunter, senior pastor of Northland, a church distributed, were it not for the 60 Minutes special a year ago or so, even though you were proud of the initiative that you and other faith-based initiatives were doing with the homeless, would there have been this kind of response on your and the clergy community to homeless students without the 60 Minutes special?
I don't think so. I think it takes an initiating event. It takes something so shocking that a community wakes up, and a community has this in common because it was named Seminole County. And so we had a basis upon which, you know, many of us operate in the region, in Central Florida, but when it gets down to an actual county, we had a basis upon which to respond. So I just don't think there would have been the kind of response that we see right now without that piece.
Dr. Hunter, philosophically, what if 60 Minutes had done a piece on Seminole County homeless veterans? Would that be the initiative you would now be undertaking?
Probably. We respond to a need. I question as to how much of a response we would have had. When it centers around children, there is a special place in everybody's heart for the helplessness of children. You know, it's through no fault of their own that they're in this situation. And so it evokes a much more widespread response. But, yeah, if the program had been on veterans or any other segment of our population, we probably would have responded to that.
Are other homeless cohorts, like the veterans, homeless people, or homeless mentally ill, on the future radar screen of the faith-based initiative once you address the, or at least attempt to address, the homeless students?
I hope so. Of course, nobody can say for sure how this thing's going to develop. But the hope would be that once we start working together, then we develop a much more comprehensive approach. Usually what happens in these things is we start with a very focused approach that all of us can kind of chip into. And then as the relationships build and the common efforts for service build, you see other kinds of activities that we can do together. Some will come in and say, you know, we've got this ministry toward, you know, toward veterans. And would anybody have, you know, a response to that? And so there will be a half a dozen say, well, we can do something there, you know. So hopefully these things build and broaden as they go along.
Dr. Hunter, with Northland Church, who are the principal people working shoulder to shoulder with you involved in this conception and its leadership, both from the clergy community, the faith-based community, the lay community?
Well, we've got a steering committee, basically that is a group of pastors that have been around for quite a while, and they have a reputation or they have a ministry of having either a very socially involved church or a ministry toward these people specifically. And it goes from long-standing churches, you know, Joe McLaren of a large United Methodist church, that Father John Blewett of the Catholic Church, to Paul Hoyer of Holy Cross Lutheran Church, very active in these areas. Wally Arp, another Lutheran pastor. Will Philemon of a smaller storefront church, but very active in ministering to those who are kind of down and out. And there's, of course, Aloma United Methodist. They were kind of the pioneers of working with a local elementary school. And so we just have, and of course John Murphy, who has this huge kind of ministry toward a whole gamut of needs in our community. And it's an independent ministry. It's not a church per se, but it's just kind of independent parachurch kind of organization. So those are just some of the people that we immediately called together in order to have a collaborative relationship from the very beginning. But Northland is a large church, but we didn't want to be the leader. We wanted to be the convener of a group of people with varied perspectives, varied experiences that could all add to one another.
Dr. Hunter, will you describe to the uninitiated listener who's not tracking in the detail you and I are speaking about, the Student Homeless Initiative, what you hope to be the anticipated outcomes of this involvement with the faith-based community and Seminole County Public School District?
Sure. Let me do it in four different segments. First of all, we hope that we can garner more support for those specialty ministries that do a very good job for the homeless and offer services for the homeless, whether it be a Pathways to Home or a Sharing Center or a Shepherd's Hope that give medical care to people who can't afford insurance or even, the kind of doctor's care that they need. Those kinds of things. We want to support those ministries. Second, we want to support the public sector programs, the families in transition, for example, that are a part of our county school system. And we want to make sure that we are supporting the teachers who have a relationship with students every day. They are the main encouragers and supporters of these students who come from homeless families, and we want to supply them with food and encouragement to give to those kids. Third, we want to build up the churches in their particular ministries, either to support schools or to be advocates for the homeless, or to have different local churches that become better at ministering to the homeless themselves. And then lastly, and this would be ultimately our goal, we want to offer a resource where any person in this county can go to a website and they can say, I can either help in this way or I need help. And it goes all the way from mentoring to different, commodities. You know, if somebody could go on, for example, and say, you know, somebody has given us an apartment at low rent, but we have no furniture. You know, does anybody out there have a bedroom set? And then somebody who has signed up on this website could say, we got a bedroom set in our garage. We'll bring it over. And so it's more of a individual resourcing an individual and not just a church or a civic organization having to manage it all. So ultimately, we want to level a playing field and get the grassroots involved and connected with one another.
Dr. Hunter, senior pastor of Northland Church, given those anticipated outcomes, given the level playing field that you're trying to achieve, what measure will indicate you've been successful in 2 years, 3 years? What metrics might you apply to judge the outcome of these that you've just described?
Well, number one, the number of homeless school children will go down. That's a measurable outcome that we look for, and they can count those. I mean, the teachers know about that. And so that's our first goal, is to get that number down. The companion goal, of course, would be to work with these families. And all of these families need case managers. That's another thing we're doing. We're training case managers, because every family is unique, and every family faces not one problem. It's not just I don't have a home. It's usually I don't have a job, and I don't have the training, and I don't know how to manage, you know, the resources I do have, because nobody's ever taught me that stuff. And so we want to train enough case managers in our county to address families so that they can become self-sustaining and hopefully turn around and help someone else. And so that's ultimately the goal, is not just to make somebody independent, but to help somebody be eventually in the position to help others as they have been helped.
Dr. Hunter, you mentioned a broad invitation to 400 Seminole County churches. You said roughly 140 responded, at least at the moment. Have you sensed any resistance or opposition to such an initiative among your clergy colleagues?
Well, there's always a suspicion. The church community is fairly tribal, you know, and here's the deal with the church. The church, most churches have a feeling like either we don't have the capability to help because we're just trying to meet our own budget every week. We're trying to keep our own nose above water, and the economy has also impacted us. And so, therefore, when it comes to can we help our county out, we don't think we have the capability. And the other thing is, even those who are making a go of it and they're fairly stable, don't feel like they have the understanding or the capacity. And they say, you know, in essence, we're too small. You know, you don't really need us. We couldn't really do much. And so a lot of this is going to have to be an ongoing, no, whatever you can offer that you weren't offering before is a part of the solution. So a part of this will just to be breaking down some of the barriers and to encourage people that they really can be of service, and we really do need this to do this together, because this is literally loving your neighbor. I mean, I don't, Jesus, was very plain about this. We need to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and so these are our neighbors, and so we just need to keep after it and try to expand the number of churches and other faith organizations that are included.
Dr. Hunter, are there other religions in Seminole County involved in this initiative besides Christians? In other words,
yes.
Jews, Muslims,
yes.
Buddhists?
Yes, we are actively, the Jews are involved and going to be a part of this collaboration. We are inviting the two mosques, there's two mosques in Seminole County, and the way they operate is they get permission from the Islamic Society of Central Florida, and I went to my good friend Muhammad Musri, and he readily gave his consent and said this is a good thing. So we're going to be asking them to join in this effort as well. We will be seeking the collaboration of civic organizations that are not religious. We will be asking the local Hindu temple to be involved. So yes, this is an interfaith effort, because this is about a community and not about a particular religion.
Dr. Hunter, given the federal law separating religion from public school activities, how will you guard against any intentional or unintentional misstep in that regard?
Well, that's a very good question, and we need to be trained. And our school board chair, Dee Dee Schaffner, is very, very good at this. They have had a meeting to set boundaries for any religious organization involved in the school, because they can't have, people including religious tracts with, food donations and so on and so forth. That does violate the separation of church and state and what they can do. And so as long as churches abide by the boundaries they're given, they won't transgress those or trespass upon what could get the schools in trouble for helping this, for accepting this kind of help.
Dr. Joel Hunter, with senior pastor with Northland Church, given your statewide travels and your national involvement, have you seen any other initiative like this involving the faith-based communities where you have traveled and observed?
On a general venue, yes. There's much happening throughout the nation. I was on the Presidential Advisory Council, and I happened to be on the Interfaith Dialogue and Cooperation part of it. And so I have seen firsthand in many communities the growing cooperation of social services from a number of faith communities that are working together, because in every religion there is an obligation to help those less fortunate, those vulnerable. And so we all have that in common. And so it's fairly simple for us to say we can do this better together than we can separately. So yes, I've seen this in many communities.
Dr. Hunter, how do you pastor or counsel a homeless couple of, by default, a homeless student? What message of God's word do you share?
Well, I usually refer them again to someone who can see their situation in particular. But ultimately, you've got to come to understand that it is God who is the provider. Jehovah Rapha is God the healer. Jehovah Jireh is God the provider. And that's one of his names. And so ultimately, we want to tell them that God will be their provider, that they should turn to him. But many times he will use one of us as his hand of provision. And so we certainly want God to get the credit for what we're doing, but we also want to understand our own obligation to be His hands and feet as we go about our business.
How do you articulate to a cynic the charge that if God is the provider, God may also be the cause of the homeless condition for the student.
Well, I'm not smart enough to really answer a skeptic, because a skeptic is usually not looking for an answer. He's looking for an excuse not to do anything. And so I really don't spend a lot of time trying to defend God. I spend much more time just trying to do what I'm supposed to do. And if people really are looking to see whether or not we mean what we say, they can see what we do. And they can leave the reasoning with God. That's more about their personal faith journey than it is about, you know, really testing whether or not we're real. So, I think that many of the needs we have in this world, are even-handed. You know, they just come as a part of living in this world. And faith communities, if they would pay attention to their responsibility, could do more to answer those needs than we can possibly think. And so that's our responsibility. That's what we need to be doing. I don't need to defend God. I just need to do what I'm supposed to do.
Dr. Joel Hunter, senior pastor of Northland, a church distributed, on a personal level, have you or a loved one ever experienced or confronted homelessness or hunger or poverty?
Not on the level that many of these people are going through. I grew up in a single mom raised us. We were poor. I had one pair of pants. We had meat once a week, and we made it stretch, you know. And so, but lots of us were like that back then. And so it was, but I've never, you know, been without a home. And I've never, been not knowing, you know, whether or not my parents were going to be able to have a job, you know, and we just always found something. It wasn't much, but it was always something. So no, I've not been through what a lot of these families are going through.
Dr. Hunter, anything to add before we close?
No, you've done a very good job.
Dr. Joel Hunter, senior pastor of Northland, a church distributed, thank you for this interview.
You're certainly welcome.